libertymedia.com, rlmradio.xyz. This is a Ponder Gander, What Matters Worldwide. We're considering perspectives, connecting voices, bringing it together. Vince Easley here, Vincent Ray Easley the second, Vin E, some of the names of the many Vinnies that I may go by, and topics of discussion. So I was asked in Twitter feed on my other Ponder Gander account over there by JJ McNabb, because she blocked me on Vincent of the Vinny RLM radio for being snarky, and I didn't realize she was so quick with the trigger. So I have to be careful over here with Ponder Gander, or I'll have to go to my super secret identity of shall I tell you, Scaramouche, or do you Fantango? Well, she asked me here, she says, Vince, what happened when you met Pete in Bunkerville? So we're talking about Pete Santilli. Covered a little bit with Flashed here this last Tuesday on A Perfect World. So let me see if I can be a little more concise in relating this story. She said I should record a YouTube video or a podcast, and that she would post the link. Pretty sure a lot of people will be interested. I ain't really, you know, trying to kick the guy in the nads or nothing, but he's not my cup of tea. He thinks that we're all hanging on his words, and I don't really listen to him. I have to suffer through sometimes to go to certain parts of information that is in topic. Now, Pete Santilli is suing Larry Klayman, and he had filed a complaint against Pete Santilli had filed a complaint against Larry Klayman, and Klayman told him to withdraw it or he would sue him. So he's suing him, I think, for $15 million now. But so as in response to J.J. McNabb, I'm going to tell you the story of my meeting of Pete Santilli. Now, I knew his name, and when I saw him the first time, I didn't know, even know who I was looking at. But I worked in the past in radio with Suzanne Posel, who Pete Santilli's response to that in that Twitter feed is, she's a communist. She's not, I don't know that she's a communist. She's left-leaning, certainly. But so what? All his responses in there would never answer the question. It was all about ad hominem and logical fallacy in response. Why waste all that time? Yes, come on, let's work through it. You want to call these people trolls out over here that you're talking to that have questions for you, because what, they're not public, they're not non-anonymous like you and I are with our names out there, but they have a legitimate fear of some wacko whacking them. So somebody kill that duck in chat. Thank you, Grimmer. So I want to tell you the story. I'd worked with Suzanne Posel in radio and previous from 2013 when I started radio. So it's actually been 6 years ago last month, and I started with the Medical Conspiracy show, hosted that for Dr. Carpenter. May the 2nd was my 2013, I came to radio at UCY.TV. And I've been here at Real Liberty Media now for a few years. So collaborative work with Chuck Ocelli, Ocelli.com. There's a few other networks that I've guested at, and a lot of blog talk with some folks over there. I've invited them here to Real Liberty Media. I don't know why anybody is satisfied with blog talk. I also invited Cherry Wilson, used to be Cherry Roberts, to come over and... Well, the anarchy part of this scares some people away, and that's one of the reasons I think it's very important to have dissenting voices here. There's a difference between debating and discussing issues and ideology than attacking. So I worked through this flounce of having flounced myself from Real Liberty Media and came back twice, and I've worked through and thank you all. For putting up with me through it all. And so here we are, and I can say that this is Real Liberty Media, and that's what this is supposed to be about. And so I'll tell you the story about Pete. So working with Suzanne, and also Janine Gordon, she goes by Jaja, she used to be in with Alex Jones. She's a hip hop artist, and a lot of her ideas are, you know, other people would consider whack, but that's okay. You know, everybody's good to have their opinion, and the more you talk about it, the more you'll prove yourself right or wrong. Anyway, she was down in Florida, and she had forgot to bring her music with her that she needed for some event that she was doing, and so she rang me up and asked if I could send her work that she needed, which was music, and I was able to advance that to her. I thought that was real cool. I have worked with a lot of great people that I consider very great and good people in radio, and people that have different ideas than myself even, so that's not a problem. It is important, I think, that we are able to share information and discuss it. So anyways, let me see if I can tell this story, however many minutes I'm in on this. Lean back here. So I go to Bunkerville on April the 11th of 2014 after seeing all the information of the buildup of what was going on there, and people were massing in great numbers. And I was in Vegas, and usually travel to Vegas. A Grimner. Okay. All right. I travel out to Vegas. It's been my second home since 1969, back and forth over the years, and I happened to be in Vegas in 2014. I'd been previous to that. I was down in Arizona. I went spent some few weeks out in the desert, which I like to do, pop a tent, go out in the wilderness, and down in Quartzsite. And I'd consider my first real interview was with Jennifer Jones, Jay Jones. She's since moved up to Kingman and is in politics. She didn't win her bid for election there, but very important, I think, that people have voice. And so that's been my intent. Now, Suzanne Posel and Vinnie Eastwood started Guerrilla Media, and according to what she relayed to me is Pete Santilli is a shyster and jacked them for their network. I don't remember what his beef was with Zsa Zsa, but when I met Pete, my words to him was, when I introduced myself, I said, yeah, I work in radio with Janine and Suzanne, and yeah, I'd have seen the look on his face. It was like, he was like a little bit of fear in there, and like, the O in the mouth shape of, and Mike, you're listening, he's a good reading of body language, and I'm pretty good myself, so his expression that I'm reading is like, oh crap, and what do you know, and a bit of a stutter when he says, I'd advise you to be careful working with him, and so I let it go. But to back up, I arrived the day before, the Thursday, spent all day out there. Thanks, Bill, now we'll finish your last name, for picking me up and carrying me out there, and so anyways, there I am, April 11th, meeting people, interviewing, you know, and doing some call-in radio. Up all day. So as it goes through to into late hours of the night and in the early morning hours of April the 12th, Jason Patrick and I were up there at the, what I call the marshalling yard, where the sign is of We the People, and little trailer up there, and we're standing around. Most people is asleep, and so we're talking about what's going on and past experience of how movements, if you can call it that, are infiltrated, and that besides just the provocateurs, then there would be possible some people that would be unstable. They're there to start trouble, and I absolutely, they had that. Now, there was nothing really super bad that happened there that could have gone bad, like, you know, lots of gunshots going off and people dropping left and right. And I think the overall atmosphere and prevailing attitude of people that there in great numbers prevented that. There were those few there that were there hoping for trouble. They wanted a second American Revolution. They wanted that to be the battlegrounds, the Battle of Bunkerville, to be the start, and that people would rise up in great masses across the country. Now, J.J. McNabb, she has got a lot of information on people like this. Somebody just got convicted there and for a plot to blow up the bank in Oklahoma City. She covered that. And in research on that, I found that the court decision came down that the government can not only facilitate crimes and provide needed material, and that being legal. So this is what we come to. We find a lot of this happening with this guy Bill that tried to blow up a building in Utah. He's out of prison for that. Now, if anybody comes and says to me, let's kill somebody or come blow some building up, you're not going to get very far and get me to come along with your plans. And if you're going to harm somebody, I'm going to do whatever I can to prevent that harm, whoever I have to seek out. So there's nothing wrong with putting bad people in prison. And unfortunately, a lot of times how this works is it builds up to finding the right patsy, the one that doesn't have the full mental capacities or is so ignorant and stupid in their prejudice that they're willing to do harm to another. Well, I'm not okay with that. I'm here seeking peace, and that is my purpose. So Pete Santilli, okay, back to the trailer. I knew I couldn't do this and just run it straight through real quick, so you can bear with me or just continue. Sorry. Okay, we're talking outside the trailer, and Hammond Bundy come out. And it's probably like, I guess, somewhere about 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And he says, I've been listening to you guys, and I really like what you're saying. And what we had been talking about was, you know, these people are going to be there to cause trouble. And what we need to do is really keep a sharp eye out. Now, part of my testimony would have been in court as witness at the Bundy Ranch trial, number 303 on the list of some 1,400 people plus. So whether I'd ever got called or not, is I don't know, but it was relevant to a conversation about this being a peaceful protest, peaceful pushback, as Ammon Bundy called it. So he said he was listening to us, and we're talking about we need to keep an eye out for these guys that are going to be causing trouble. And a lot of people think that this was an armed rebellion as opposed to a First and Second Amendment right. A lot of mistakes made by people, no doubt, ending up in nearly the rest of their life in prison, so many people. And it's amazing that so many people are not there. There are others that are, Jerry DeLimas in prison, Greg Burleson. I don't know. Sorry if you're a friend of Greg Burleson and Beverly. If you're listening, don't unfriend me for this again, for saying that it's about Greg, but he was an FBI informant 2 times before, so, I really can't say that I have too much sympathy for him. He ran his mouth, and, he's in prison for words, which I have a lot of problem with that. But. So anyways, back to the trailer. And the short of the testimony is, short story there is, that we had... together, what is a word that would be opposite of conspire? But so we lawfully conspired or in league, we decided that it was a very good idea to look out for anybody that might be about to cause some problems. And what we did, we decided to do a daisy chain, and we would approach groups or individuals and let them know the concerns and the possibility of violence. And we did not want any initiation of violence coming. There were people there willing to stand in the gap and to be shot and killed if that's what it meant by the feds there, who were supposed to have left, by the way, already when everybody ended up down there in the wash, the Toco wash, and at the gate with Dan Love leading the opposition by the feds, the BLM and military operation, some 200 agents there. Anyway, so I see the next day, and I'm up here, and I'm looking in a, you know, doing using that body language, looking for telltale times, signs of anybody that's going to be probably a problem or create problems. And as I'm looking around and scanning the crowd, a big old pop. Well, how would I call this? It just popped out real big. I look at this guy who turns out to be Pete Santilli. And I'm saying, that's the guy. He's the guy here to start trouble. Now, in all fairness, in difference of how he and I approach this this whole radio thing, is very different. And, you know, some people like this Alex Jones type figure. You know, not me. I've never had any. I don't like Pete Santilli's style, not one bit. But I have to credit him. The whole this world would be completely different. Nobody had known who the Bundys were. They'd be dead or in prison had it not been for Pete Santilli's video. So, kudos for that. Now, people will say that this was seditionist and insurrection against the lawful government. And I have contention with that. Even where the fact that Cliven Bundy was wrong, if he was not right in saying, you ain't taking my cows, still, nonetheless, he has that right. I think it should never go to guns from the government because somebody's saying, you're not going to just take my property because you say so. I protest and I want to state my grievance with the government. And so being I guess there's some legal channel for that, but when so many people in such mass numbers came out that day and over the weeks that said, no, this isn't right. That point right there, the government should say, okay, well, let's pack up and leave, which they did, and let's come back at this another way. So to be there with a gun, Judge Gloria Navarro says that's threatening law enforcement. Well, everybody had their guns slung on their shoulder, almost everybody. There's still this debate about Eric Parker on the bridge. That was a staged photograph, but somebody's come back and said the timestamp says it. No, but I believe that. He would have been taken out, but that woman sniper, she had him in his sights. There was people that were targeted. They had a kill list of people to be targeted, and then we hear the video that's been released about was killed. The fat woman and that fat man's dog and laughing and yah, yah, yah. But anyway, so Pete Santilli, I see him, and I'm scanning, and I look at him, and I go, that is the biggest troublemaker, the most obvious that I can find. And so anyways, I found out who the guy was, and so I talked to him, and I was telling you the story about me telling him to work with Janine and Jaja, and Suzanne, and him like, oh, man, this ain't good. Anyways, passing on by that, Am and Bundy came up to me, and they were going to have the press conference. We were waiting on Sheriff Gillespie to come out and had the flatbed trailer up there, and were they going to use that as a stage? And he says, ask me, as I'm presenting myself as media with my cardboard sign, and I've since shrunk it and laminated it where it'll hang around my neck. Thank you, Grimner. And my brother Vic for the work on that. But anyways, Ammon says, can you, we're going to need speakers and a microphone. He says, can you help me with that? And I'm like, sure. You know, from my understanding, the key to leadership is knowing how to delegate authority. So I took and run with that. And I says, hey, Pete, I says, look, we're going to need some speakers and a microphone. Sit up here at this podium for the press conference, and I said, can you help me out with that? He says, what do you have to do with this? And I said, Ammons asked me if I could get this together. He says, "Well, yeah, I can get in Mesquite." I said, "He says I can get it from there." And he says, "I need a truck." I said, "Anybody got a truck for Pete Santilli to go pick up the sound equipment we need for this?" And somebody tossed me their keys, and I tossed it to him, and on it goes. And that led up to my Force Cut moment of history, and me being up on stage. I said, "Hey, I helped put this together. I think I'll get up here on stage." And I was standing right in next to the flag, the left side and the back next to the flag. I made a nice little tail of that. Next to the flag, beside, before the people, and so forth. I don't recall it all, but anyways, in relation. So there I am, and a little later on, after all of that, Pete Santilli's got the mic. So, in a lot of ways, he was very responsible for such a great presentation of information and facts. Just because I don't like the guy's style, it doesn't mean that I oppose him. But yeah, I kind of do, I guess, because I'm definitely not on the side. This is a big part of this big division in the what's called the Poot Wars. And then you get troublemakers in there like Rocky Hall. And I know she's back there stirring Corey LeCue. I don't know what her problem is, but I met her there in 2014 as well. And I deleted the video I had interviewing her because and the others. And thanks, Tom Lockevar Stewart, let me use his motorhome to do that. And she's all like, she doxed herself accidentally in the background, and she's like waving her hands, "No, no, no." And I'm like, well, you know, I'm not a video editor now. I just got to dump the whole video because I wasn't there to cause problems for anybody. I just came to be a witness and to report, and that's all I could do. I didn't come with a gun. I did go to the middle of the interstate when the cops blocked across, and I was so nervous, you know, trying to hold the camera and shaking so bad I dropped it. And then somebody hollers out, they got them pinned down under the bridge, and everybody run down there. And I got down there. I'd been up all day the day before and all night and that day. And I get in to walk up under the bridge to walk down to the wash, and it's like barbed wire and a steep hill. I've got rheumatoid arthritis real bad, and it was hurting. And here come, I didn't know at the time, it was Ken, a red hat man up in Oregon, if anybody knows who I'm talking about there. So he came down before, and he's going down, and he tripped and fell and rolled down that hill through barbed wire, got cut all up, and I was like, that's what's going to happen to me. So I stayed up under the bridge up top with my cardboard sign, and you can see images of that, instead of being down in the midst down below. But I think if I wouldn't been so, wore out, it would have been me up there at the front of the line approaching the armed occupiers there that were barring the way, instead of that one guy from the news. Anyways, no worries. I'm not here for fame or anything like that, but I'm a peanut and a row of Snickers compared to all these other folks that have done so much, and I'm just glad to be a part of it, and being one of the voices that is witness to this. So Pete Santilli, we'll go past April 12th on to sometime later that Clavid Bundy was talking about the Negro and wondered if he was any better off back during slave days when they had their happy little family. There's a lot of ignorance and bigotry in what he said, but it doesn't mean it's necessarily being a racist or prejudiced or anything like that. Ignorance, isolation. Now, Bunkerville is a small community, and their family's been there for a long time, so their ideology is set. And to say the word Negro, I worked for this one guy. He used to call black folks colored. I say black folks, and he'd say colored. And every time I'd say, "What color?" He'd say black. I said, "Oh," he'd fall for it every time. Colored folks. But anyways, words is words, and in this snowflake society we live in, and people calling for censorship of speech is very scary. It's extremely scary, and I just think people may not have a true realization of where this would lead to, and have that in context of history. I'm sorry, I got distracted reading. Thank you, Circle. Love you. So anyways, we go forward to this when Clive and Bundy had made this. And that was Jason Patrick that recorded it. Then I think it's a New York, was it the New York Times or was it the Washington Post? I forget. Somebody grabbed his bamboozle stream, pulled out just enough parts of it to make Clive and sound the kook and the racist, and it missed the entirety of the conversation that Clive and Bundy was talking about us all being slaves under this system. I know the people from the left, whom I call patties as opposed to the poots, would think probably I'm a nutter too, you know, for saying such things. But the truth is that there is a very big problem within our government, and it's being exhibited now. And people think, oh, it's only Trump, or they say the other camp is, oh, Trump is the hero. He said he's going to drain the swamp, and what did he do? He stocked it, you know. So I've never liked Trump ever since I knew who he was as the apprentice to the guy there. He's a jerk. He's self-serving. There's arguments to be made that he is making some changes. I don't want a wall. I don't want to be walled in. We've got our own pods and pens already that we have to jump through hoops to gain favor for certain amounts of freedoms. But anyways, so I have the YouTube. I was recording there when the big press turnout came for Clive and Bundy's in response to his so-called racial statements. As I'm recording, Pete Santilli is right up there. Antonio Castellan is Channel 3 News Las Vegas, was one of the members of media out there. And he recorded me, and I said to him in the short of the interview that, and how they always end up cutting you down to sometimes even just a second. That's what Channel 8 did to me. But they allowed at least my content to be expressed there. When I said that Clive and Bundy was using words, and it means something differently than it would in another part of the country or another time even. And like I said, Bunkerville's kind of at, well, the modern age has certainly got him up to him now, but for a very long time, like when I was in eighth grade in Moava Valley, we'd play against Mesquite in football. Pop Warner, that was a lot more, a lot less of the modern influence of the world. Some people might call that whatever, and they've made accusations of Cliven being FDLS and this and that. My experience is having lived in that part of the world, I worked in Mesquite. I fell in love for the first time in Glendale, Arizona. I'm not Arizona, Nevada there between, by Moapa and south of Mesquite and north of Vegas. But anyways, hi, Annette. I had a little more skin in the game, I think, and I knew a lot more about, the environment and the people around and, with that area. My grandma, she converted to LDS. I'm not a Mormon, but I have a lot of respect for Mormons. I find that the biggest majority of Mormons, I'll start this with this old joke. How many Mormons you take fishing with you? At least two, one to watch the other so they don't drink all your beer. They call them Jack Mormons. So there's definitely a difference between somebody that's practicing the precepts of the religion. No matter how much, Mike, I know that you're in chat listening. I know you have a lot of problem with Mormons. Personally, my experience, and especially over this time that I spent getting to know other people and getting to know them a little better, the Bundys, Shauna Cox, Brian Hyde, amazing, man. Lots of other people, too, that are members of the Latter-day Saint Church. My experience with these people, most Mormons are very serious about it. And there is guidelines and morality that generally make a person better in life, morally, and as a family. That's very, very big. So anyways, so here we are, and Pete Santilli's there, and Antonio Castellan asked Clive and Bundy about his what is perceived as racial statement. I'll include in the blog there the video where you can hear the words for yourself. Well, so after that, Antonio was basically the last question of the press conference, and he's walking off. Pete Santilli's all jumping, you don't deserve the First Amendment. Who do you work for? You work for the American people. Rah, rah, rah. And in the background, you can see Louis Prepper, this guy, VOP, Veterans on Patrol, the non-veteran Louis Prepper, wacko, body slammed the anonymous guy, Marty. They stayed at my camp off in Vegas. The dude smoked weed with me, and then comes back and accuses Marty of being on meth. Marty was not on meth. I think Louis Prepper, my experience with people on drugs, I know it's when you're on drugs, I'm pretty sure he was on meth. It's my opinion, so I'm not saying that he was, but I think he was. Anyway, so, yeah, he had come along, and he's running around with some pack of miscreants, and pretty sure FBI agents, or at least informants, all involved, walking around, want to get everybody's name and get them to sign up and join this. And it's like, no, I ain't here to join nobody. I'm here by myself. And I continue that. Although I have association, I am not signing my name to nothing. And I want to caution everybody what happened to Bruce Doucette. That's a lot bigger story than one I've yet to tell in full yet. Don't sign nothing. Don't make threats. It's not over. It's still not over. And there still could be the possibility of superseding indictments to come on dozens or even hundreds of people. And in the long run, at the very end, people that came out there just being there at some point in time in the future. As things keep progressing the way they are, some similar event such as that, just the mere attendance can put you into a position of guilt, according to federal government. So, anyways, Pete Santilli, he's likes to stir the pot, agitate. It's his personality on radio, and that was part of his claim defense as well. Like I said, I don't like his personality. I don't like his radio. You may not like mine. It matters little. I'm here doing what I do regardless of who's here to listen. It's important, I think, to set the record and be witness. So in my conversation here, what brought this all about, I asked Guy Reeve, who is called the Big Time Troll. He's snarky. He likes to pick on the poots. It's his style, so fine, whatever. That's cool. But I get a lot of my information by following him because he keeps up with everybody. So I'm really appreciative of Sky Reeve, and I'll say it again. But he and I have a pretty good relation as far as proper conversation. He schooled me early on, and I got to give him a lot of credit for prodding me in the direction of becoming better able at writing, because, oh man, what a pain that is. I'm amazed at some people's ability of great writing. So in this, I talk about the... JJ says, I was watching the Castellan attack on live stream when it happened. So Antonio was leaving at the end of the press conference there, Our friend John, who I went and stayed with on my trip up in Portland, he's in prison now because of his mouth running off, and that game warden just let him sit there and run his mouth for an hour and a half and saying all the these words that were held against him. So he ended up arrested, and they offered him, so I think it had been 20 and a, about 20 months or 23 months he'd have had to do. He says, "What should I do?" I said, "Well, you're not going to win in court. I'm going to tell you that right now. I don't even know what you said, but I know from our experience as friends that you said plenty. You've there's enough record against you that you're not getting out of it, plain and simple." I said, but he chose to stand on principle and refused to accept the deal. So I think he's got 3 or 4 years prison to do. But this aggressive behavior and these words that are being used, I can't caution you enough. You know, people say things in the heat of anger and whatnot that is, again, later come to be held against them. What you say can and will be used against you. And I'm not saying this to that. I'm saying if you're going to go blow up a building, don't tell nobody and just go blow it up. No, I'm against that as well. Do not incite violence. And there is a better way. And I think we've demonstrated this here in Real Liberty Media through this past month of the problems there that was addressed Tuesday with Flash on In a Perfect World. So anyways, talking about all that there, and JJIS is the ICC's Tucson VOP non-veteran leader, Lewis Author. He's got like four names, so it just all depends. He's a big troublemaker, the type of person that I don't know how he's not already in prison, in and out of jail, whacked in the mind. And I'm going to tell you the big, I don't know what the percentage of, but I there's enough that I encountered personally, like Little Dog, and others that provocateur. They want violence. They were there hoping to pull triggers. And I purposely did not get to know so many of these militias out there, because you guys, you're over there. I'm not here with you. I'm here by myself. That's what I'm doing. And, well, I thought everybody should have an issue, and mine was free the weed. So Channel 8 was doing a live video, streaming live. And so I went in behind the reporter, and I fired a big old fatty up, and blowing smoke. And I said, "Free the weed!" And so I went and talked to the cameraman a little later. He said, I told him, I said, "I had a message to get out." And he says, "I believe you did it." I never could find that. I wish I could have had that recorded. So anyways, Pete Santilli's a hothead. that's what I say. Now, Tuesday again, I covered, it started out and ended up talking about Pete Santilli and Larry Klayman. So, what's the day? The first, March 1st. So go back Tuesday previous and Real Liberty Media and Archives, and you can find that. Excuse me. So that I just what I wanted to do was address this about, and it's no great exciting thing here, but J.J. McNabb asked that I relay this story, and so that's what I did in a long, long roundabout way. You know, I'm pretty sure that many will not get to the end of this, but anyways, I like to be engaged in conversation with people that have a different idea other than myself, and that keeps me out of an echo chamber. I spend more time with in conversation with people that are against the Bundy et al. Than I do on the side of those on the side of Bundy et al., and that's now split into several camps. And that keeps me from confirmation bias, I hope. I'm probably still stuck in some ways, and I've yet to do due diligence to Don Quixote, Cervantes' Mount, and some of his questions that are legitimate. So Pete Santilli, I asked you a question. Why were you able to do interviews with Roger Stone, and then you had to ask the court for permission, and then Judge Gloria Navarro denied that, saying that it wouldn't be in your best interest, no matter your financial or viewer, the harm that would come to that. I'm gonna read some messages. I'm gonna have to make this, I guess, a lot longer than I intended. Mommy Brain says, feels good to be famous for being a complete hot-headed jerk. Hey, Petey, do you have any idea of the contempt in which we hold you? I hope you, sarcasm here, and it's hard to read inflection and type, though, but previous statements when followed by, I do hope things go keep going your way. That's pretty cheeky, going your way, not for the good of you, but going your way. Downhill and dumping on you. this thread got a lot of engagement. So JJ McNabb, she says that situation there at the press conference in could have gone violent very easily. She misspelled my name easily. Just kidding. And it could have. And when I was talking about Antonio came into the conversation, I tagged him in this, and I told him. The guy that come up, the big guy come up, put his hand on your shoulder, that he's in prison now. That's my friend John. Wouldn't listen to me. I spent three months of the summer in 2017 in Spokane, and we went all over the Northwest, up around in Idaho, and he's been disturbed in personal life and in the whole... it's almost a religious movement, you know, the anti-government, what they call type deal, and people are doing this stuff wrong and getting killed and getting put in prison, taken out of the game. You're not helping it by being a sacrifice. So, you know, like running around, whipping a bitch and, making a U-turn on a cop and riding around with a pistol and... whipping around at YouTube, come back up on a cop and then pull up beside him and light a joint up. I'm like, man, what are you trying to do? I said, I'm going to tell you what, if this is what you're about right here, if you want, you know, provoke violence and cause a, you know, confrontation with a cop, I said, as soon as we get pulled over, I said, my hands are going out the wind and I'm probably crawling and falling right out behind him, you know. He wouldn't listen to me. I tried counseling and logic and reason, and I made the mistake. I made the mistake of which I've done to others, and as soon as you point something out like this, boom, it changes the whole perspective of the relationship. I said, dude, you're a psychopath, man. That, and he is, you know, at least partly. You know, a lot of damage people, and then improper response. But look, you're in prison, dude. I love you, brother. And I tried to tell you, man, you're lucky you're not dead, you know. You want to provoke an incident. Is that what you're doing with the game warden? You know, it's very simple. The best thing you can do is keep your mouth shut. Now, there's other people that want to do the First Amendment audit, they call it, and so forth. I don't agree with the way a lot of these people are doing that. Personally, I think it's a lot easier to, for me, with my laminated piece of paper, to hang it around my neck, give notice of my intent, identify myself. My laminated piece of paper is as good as the state's laminated piece of paper. So all the information you ever want to find on me is on the web. Vincent Ray Easley II, Vincent Easley, Vince Easley, also known as Vin E. So it'd be hard to dox me. I pretty much have ever told everything there's telling myself. Pete, you're a knucklehead, dude. Yeah, he responds, the video was not on April 12th. Well, yeah, I know. I didn't say it was. And when you're... limited to a certain amount of characters, sometimes the content is lost. And then I say to Antonio, sorry for not being clear when I say it was Louie that did the body slam and not my friend John or Pete. So, yeah, it did follow through there, Petey. He says it was not April 12th. And by the way, BTW,
I met quite a few Klingons at Dundee Ranch. And he says Suzanne Posel is a communist. So it's no wonder that you worked with her. Dude, get off my Twitter page and go make something of your life. So that's where he started. It goes on and on. And James Ball at Cato 212. He has some pretty good points in here. And if you're on Twitter, you can come over and I'll put it in the blog. You can follow this conversation out. Oh, boy. All this that you had to say here, and you never even answered the question, Pete. Says your rumor is bogus, and besides, A, I took it, I was told it took days. This is about, the copying of the Hammonds, the records on the Hammonds up in the Malia Refuge in the Resource Center, Harney County Resource Center. They inventoried and copied, and I don't know, I guess Shauna had something on a hard disk, and it's all back to evidence list that from the state prosecution in Oregon. I think I'm about done with all this thread right here, but within all this thread, there's a lot of bantering back and forth, and Pete, you never answer straight. You want to call people all kinds of names, and you work with logical fallacy, man. All I'm asking is a straight answer. Why did you record Roger Stone interview and then had to go answer? And I think J.J. McNabb and Sky Reeve answered it in when Stone was indicted. That kind of changed the scope. Because I think actually Pete Santilli is in violation of his probation by speaking to me as a witness on the exculpatory list in from the courtroom. Being and I guess I may misuse words sometimes. So yeah, I said exclusionary, or I think exclusionary list. He accuses me of making up or having to Google and combining words. Yeah, you that know me know that I'm a word masher, and I like to have fun with words, but in the seriousness of the matter, it's used to properly use the right diction, and speaking and writing is two different animals, and I'm not great at either, but I do what I do. Anyway, so that is that. Pete Santilli, for what it's worth, my opinion. Oh, give me a moment. So I'd hope to do this in 15 minutes. Kind of like writing, I'll have a page of writing that will take me about an hour to reduce by revise. Thank you, Victor, my brother. Advice, how to write. He's a great writer. Revise. So if a page down to a paragraph and a paragraph down to a line. Now I've gotten better. And being able to do this, practice, and study, and I'm probably lazy and don't put enough actual time in there. So, still not clear. Now, I'm going to move on along. Jason Patrick and Joshua Martinez, unrelated arrest. Jason up in Oregon, let me see who's calling me. I'm a masher. Yes, I'm a masher, Grimner, bad masher. And it's being OD'd, which is Urban Dictionary. A man who attempts to force his unwelcome attention on a woman. Not that kind of masher. Nope. Go to OD 2 and see what that one says. A masher, a smasher of words. What do they call it? There's a word for it. Word mash, mashing words, smashing words, something. Anyways, let's go back. Jason Patrick. I get a lot of inboxes over here. That's from Richie. I don't know what it is. I'm going to close it out. Let me go scroll down here a little bit. Got a few tabs open. Now I'll have to put them in order. So I say that I think Jason will be out in a week or so. A month maybe. 90 days would be the longest hold, I think. So probation violation. He failed to maintain contact. It's not the probation officer's duty to make sure that you're talking to him. So he went over a month without contact. I don't know if federal and state terms are the same, but I'll use the terms that I'm familiar with. They issued a bench warrant, which is a no bond, revocation, hold, probation, parole, and so forth. These are some of the things that happen. So I don't think that you're required at this point. Somebody in the comment thread said that they'd have to arraign him. There's no arraignment in this case. He's already... what probation is a suspended sentence. So it's like you're already convicted and in jail, but they're letting you out for to roam about. But there's a rules and obligations to abide. So he didn't meet that. I suspect that's all this is about is he let this go past the point of contacting his PO. And I don't even guess they ever met. So, and he's moving around, been traveling and this and that. So kind of get lost along the wayside. But I suspect that he'll be reinstated unless they want to make an example out of him. You know, they could send him back to do his full term. Sometimes on state probation parole, people get sent back for to have to do a year or even 90 days or held over in the county, this and that. So what happens, I'm not sure. But I said this, and this is over at the Real Liberty org site and comes from my conversation with Sky Reeve at Twitter and working through what happened. And I'll have to go back over there to get to the information also relevant to Joshua Martinez. And continuing here, could this be indicative of the possibility of the Ninth Circuit that they could possibly agree to this appeal from the state, which is the Judge Gloria Navarro dismissed the Tier 1 and the 3 they started with. So they started Tier 3, said no. Tier 1 and Tier 2, which included the Bundys, Ryan Payne. Tier 2 was a couple of boys, the Bundy boys there, Dave and Mel Bundy and Joe O'Shaughnessy. And there's other folks there, McGuire and a longer list what happened. And some took pleas and some were convicted from the Tier 3. Just Greg Burleson got 68 years. Jerry DeLumis accepted a plea, which was, I think, 6 years. Like Gloria Navarro added him 2 more years for him saying, look, you know, I'm only doing this basically because I ain't got no other choice. Rather take this and have a chance of getting out of prison. And because what the federal system does, they come in with just a magnitude of charges, and then superseding indictments that pop up later. And so when they come in with a plea deal, say, look, I've got 50, I mean, when the Bruce Doucette, for example, I think 50, was it 50-something charges? I don't know. I think he ended up with either 36 or 54 years, and the other guys I'm confusing, Bivy or Steven something. Do I still got that open? The fog bow, don't know that I do. Let me see. I don't think I do. Anyways, you can look that information up yourself, or I might add it. But anyways, this superseding indictments stack up, and a person has the opportunity of possibly getting out of prison if they take the plea deal, and if they fight it, then they're the rest of their life in prison. So I've got to wonder. Let's go ahead and just open it. I'm going to click it right there from Facebook to take me to realliberty.org. It's a social media site. Works really, really great, too, as a kind of a blogging position because of the ability to share it to other sites like Facebook and Twitter. Now, Google Plus, I think it's done and down and over with for good. Some shares, I guess, maybe as effective or more than others and whatever. But There's other ways to share enough. So I say, I just read this, what I've already read partly in also. Jason Patrick arrested in Oregon, unrelated thus far. Joshua Martinez arrested in Las Vegas. I say, could this be indicative of the possibility the Ninth Circuit could agree to the appeal? And this is some pre-roundup, which may include superseding indictments to follow. I know it's a stretch and conjecture, and most likely just coincidence, but this is what I expect if appeals proceed against Bundy et al. Jason Patrick is arrested for unknown this is first word that we had, first information we had. And from Mo, they came up and knocked on his trailer, their travel trailer, and there with a warrant. Now, those cops, the state trooper, and I'm not sure the position of the other guys, they were all real kind and courteous and not presenting themselves in any type of danger or ready to take action against Jason Patrick, nervous and sticking his hand in his pocket, you know. Then a certain cop maybe would have just drawn down and killed him at that point. So Jason was compliant, and Sergeant Moe is recording everything, the encounter, and so they ask about what's going on, yada, yada, yada. Here is the video, which will be in the blog. If you, I'll embed it, so I think you'll be able to read it on the blogcast or see that there if you don't have Facebook. So you can see that encounter. Then I have from Permalink, and this would be from Kelly Stewart, Joshua Martinez has been arrested. Last year, he took a misdemeanor plea deal for the false concealed carry without a permit gun charge he had. I have to go back over here and get to the top of notifications. I think pretty close to the top. I haven't responded yet to Pete's last response. Thank God a license is not required for anybody to be a Twitter lawyer. Wish I could do his voice. I don't listen to him enough. You would be disbarred. Sherlock, I bet you $1 trillion that your timeline is goofy. Hold on just a minute. Okay, there we go. So I'm going over what I previously planned, and so I told him I'd be done in one, but he am not. Anyways, he says, I'll bet you $1 trillion that your timeline is goofy. And if you need facts, don't read at Larry E. Klayman's Fruit Loop lawsuit. Man, I can't tell you, I have to count them up, how many responses you have through this. And you have never even come across with any legitimate answer or information, period. Okay, so Sky Reeve, this would be after some more of interjection too here. It says, Pete interviewed Stone after his arrest and arraignment and didn't ask for permission from the court then. I think it has to do with claiming that Pete was violating his release conditions. But I don't see how, but it is claiming, so it doesn't matter. Timeline matches. That was not the one I was looking for. That is in relation to Santilli. I was looking at the one about Josh. Here it is. So I'll give full content here. This is evidently it is arrest a poot day. Sky Reeve posted and sharing Kelly Stewart breaking news that Josh had been arrested. I say, could this be what I said, the possibility of a roundup? And Sky says, no, Josh was an ass in court today, as always, and evidently violated the terms of his plea deal. And Jason Patrick violated his Oregon probation. Nothing to do with Bundy Ranch. So, I mean, like I said, if there is going to be an overturn on the conviction, I mean the dismissal, then what I would expect would be those that have just enough dangling chads that they could be snatched up and it can be plausible deniability of pre-roundup. So I'm not saying that's what's going on, but this is how a very good possible scenario might unfold. Go get some of these, because Josh, he wasn't involved at the Bundy Ranch, but he is still would be, I think, considered one of the upper echelon of what they'd call troublemakers or so forth. So if you're going to come back here with in the Ninth Circuit overturns the dismissal of Judge Gloria Navarro, this could happen very quickly. There's generally, up to 6 months, and then different priorities are set. And I would say that if they overturn this one, that this has probably taken precedent in the courts, as far as what comes first. And I shared that, and I still have to go back and finish that, all of that from a previous broadcast and all the information. But basically, the rules there on how the appeals court works in the Ninth District is there's different things that would give the priority to which case gets heard first. But anyways, I would say that the special circumstances of this is that's how it would happen, is they would do some little roundups, some minor or individuals that they could have something to hang on and pull them out. And if they do overturn the appeal, if the appeal is given, it'll come quick and fast. In the middle of the night, they'll come in different places, from Idaho and Nevada and wherever else these people that may be for arrest in the middle of the night. Quick and quiet. That's what I was trying to say. Quick and quiet, where there's no chance of amassing and a bunch of people up there to stand in the gap and say no. Now, Brand over on my post on this, over to sharing from Real Liberty over to Facebook, he says, if that happens, it's war, mass in mass. And I don't know if it would. I don't know that people would rise up. What we really don't want is war, not revolution, not civil war. It's not going to be good for us, any of us. And if you don't understand that, I'm going to have to ask you to possibly do some of your own research about history and how revolution and civil war come out. People will say the only example of a positive revolution was the American Revolution, and others would debate that. So, but anyways, I was talking back about Josh. I hung out with Josh. I went to court with him, videoed, interviewed. So I went to court with him once, and I was trying to ask the bailiff about recording in the courtroom, and he got all assed up at first because there was a contingency of us there in the courtroom. The judge back there, she's all like looking around like, oh, wow, what's going on? And the city marshal, they called him a bailiff, he already knew who Josh was. And then when he really, he assumed like, oh, this guy's going to be a jerk and, trying to tell us what his rights are and this and that. I just asked him, I'm trying to ask him if it's all right to record in the courtroom. Because, there's some things that get you ran over. The difference between evading and avoiding, right? So I want to avoid any problems here. And some people say, oh, yeah, that's weak or whatever. But, whatever. I'm not here to sensationalize things. I'm trying to maintain a record and not cause a bunch of crap. Every time I try to be cute and smart and stir a little crap, it always makes a big old stink, and I'm the one who wallers in it. And it's not art when you crap in the living room floor. So when he realized what I was doing, he asked, he thanked me and said, no, I couldn't. You got to pay for the transcript. Which probably wasn't even, at the time, it wasn't even since court hadn't started, then all of that wasn't in there. So, you know, that's inefficient. Dan Hill, he happened to be in the courtroom. Dan Hill was one of Ammon's attorneys there. I caught him in the elevator later, too. And, oh, he crawfished a little bit. I was talking about Judge Gloria Navarro being just as dirty as the rest of them. No, she's good. And, of course, the bar members, they're going to defend one another. Had a pretty good interview with him the day that that everything was dismissed. But anyways, he was glad-handing a couple of us in there pre-court. And all this time, the judge, she's back there watching around, wondering. And I say they're wondering with a queering look on her face. There's another word I had to go Google, queering. I spelt it queering, and I guess that's not a good word. Might end up looking like I'm prejudiced or something if I use that word. So, yeah, I better figure to check myself on my spelling. I had to, lest is another word. I had to go Google Pete Santilli because least, I said, least ye forget. Least you forget. It's lest you forget. Yeah. I like to be corrected when I'm wrong. How else are you going to learn? And I ain't afraid to say when I'm wrong. Sometimes it might take me a minute to do it. But anyways, that's about it. No, what else did I have? Maybe some of the current here from Marine Sergeant Moe. Yeah, she had some misinformation a little bit. She figured that Jason was up in Portland, but and then Sky Reeve pointed out that she was wrong. Anyway, so she says that she wants to thank someone there for getting this information this morning. It appears, found out just this morning, she said Jason was not placed in Portland just yet. It appears they stopped to take a break with him in Umatilla, Oregon. And so he has an inmate number there, which would be part of intake processing. And this is not uncommon for prisoner transport to stop off in some other jurisdiction for a holdover. So they probably stopped and stayed and got a new start this morning. Maybe they decided they needed to have some contingent plan. Maybe since the Marine was videoing this, that they were worried that they might be attacked or something. But same thing I told that Highway Patrol in Vegas when I went to film the prisoner transport of the Bundys and Ryan Payne. It's just a little, that wasn't actually diesel therapy there, but it's the same type of deal. So, you know, moving people about and about. Anyways, let's see. That there. I go on there on more to. Okay. 11 hours ago, Maureen says, tomorrow, folks, we're going to attend. Okay, so this has to do with how long Jason's going to be held. They're several hours from Portland, maybe about 6 hours away where they were from in their travel trailer. So if they're going to hold them for a while and stuff, it may need that she relocate a little closer, perhaps some folks up there, a lot of patriots that may have a place for her within 30 minutes or hour, I think she asked, to stay while she has this to contend with. So there's more. Nothing's really known the last that I saw yet. Where's the other one? Here? That's not it. This one? Where'd it go? Oh, I guess I went to go open it and never did. That's why there's two. I'm going to go to Kelly's. Kelly Stewart. Check her timeline, 26 minutes ago. Where are they at? Well, this has something to do with, I guess, what they call blue ISIS, not relevant. Here is, there's Kelly and her husband, good-looking couple. Yeah, a happy anniversary, y'all. Yeah, I had an anniversary, I think, here recently. And heads up, Team Portland, dust off your signs. Find your walking shoes. We may need to be in court tomorrow afternoon. I doubt it. Like I said, there won't be a rain. It's I don't know what it's called, detentionary hearing maybe or something like that. But basically, Jason has no, you know, all his rights are gone upon conviction. So even traveling down the highway, if you're on carrying paper, if you're on probation or parole, that is, then you don't have the right to, is it the fourth, to unreasonable search and seizure. Anyway, so, yeah, they can come in your house anytime, stop you, dig through your car, whatever. So we have no new information. About Josh, I think if I remember to include this, so he's going to withdraw his plea deal from a misdemeanor, and now it's going to be charged with a felony. Going to tell you how you better do a better job of picking your battles, but that's probably not going to be very smart. Probably going to end up costing him some penitentiary time. I can't tell you enough. Get to Real Liberty Media Sundays, noon o'clock on the left coast for some lessons at Behind the Woodshed. Hal Anthony comes along here, Real Liberty Media, and he's a pathfinder, leading us through this, how to respond properly so you're not dead, shot dead on the side of the highway, or arrested and taken out of the game. He tried to send advice to the Sugar Pine Mine, to the Oregon Standoff. By the grace of God, I'd already been following Hal Anthony, and by the time I made Bunkerville in 2014, so I don't think that there's anything that I could ever be, any kind of charge be held against me. guard your words. Watch yourself. Don't put yourself in the path to be ran over and consumed by this monstrosity. Now, other people will defend government. I do not. What we have now is a bunch of rogue people up in here doing the deeds for special interests. Go back to Roy Roberts. Not Roy Roberts. Vocal Local. He's since passed on. Engage locally. This is your best chance, especially in rural areas. You know, the cities make up the majority of the population. And unfortunately, with the Electoral College, we've got California, Texas, and New York that makes it up. When you consider counties across the country and the rural folks, then, and by the way, it is 420 somewhere. It's best to engage locally, be an influence, and if you're a jerk, you're going up like Gavin Syme does and being a smartass to cops, you're not helping yourself and you're not transferring any information that is going to be helped to them. I've made my encounters with police, and I think I do it a more better way. I ask them. Because you're not going to educate a cop, first of all. If that's what you think you're doing is educating them, you're not. So just be an example and ask the questions and set the record. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm not saying, you know, I'm a hate Gavin. And that's why I'm not, thanks, Donna. That's why I'm not on Kelly Stewart's friend list, but I'm not blocked. Thank you, Kelly. Joshua Martinez has me blocked because of words and trying to engage people. Don't be afraid of words. I want you to say everything, especially when you're wrong. I want to tell you, you might consider my advice to guard your words. Melissa, if you ever get down this far to listen to this, I see you're still following my tweets over there. But from one of your other accounts, just like I have to do to yours, unblock me. Don't make this hard. I mean, for Pete's sake. Not Pete. No, not Pete's sake. For yours and mine. A lot of people don't like the fact that I talk to these people. A lot of people don't like the fact that I don't like Trump. Or like want a wall built. But, you know, there's a lot of issues I stand on the right with and on the left with. And pretty much right down the middle of what right is. The right. Not the right, but what's right is right. Sometimes what's wrong is not so obvious. But it is what it is. And Donna, thanks for your fight, too, standing up for Ed and Elaine Brown. They're in prison for the rest of their life. They're fight against the IRS. Got to be careful. If you want to be a part of this world, or if you want to be sacrificed, you want to be a martyr, there's lots of ways of doing it. But I don't think that it's doing as much good as it could be if you remain in the fight. So I think I've covered everything. I'd intended about 30 minutes to do it. I think I'm a little over an hour. But let me just peek through tabs here. There will be some few things I have to recall to add into the blog. And I'll work on that this weekend so it's concise. And it will require that I go back and listen to this again to put everything in order. So, Grimner, if you'll put this into the audio file there, and then just if you'll initiate the blog with the normal title and the date, and I'll come back in and add all the information. Thanks for letting me be lazy or stupid or whatever it is I be. So looking through. Oh, also big shout out to Pro Writing Aid and. For their service that they give to me for free. Some people say that's cheating, but it's kind of, for me, it's like having a tutor there, so I can write what I write, go over there and put it in there, and it'll tell me lots of things. Matter of fact, let me give them a proper, and I will include this link, and I've left this open for days because of my intention here. What are the 25 Pro Writing Aid reports? So prowritingaid.com/what-r-the-25 P-O-R-T-S there. You know what? I should do that verbal link also, because a lot of times from years ago, a lot of work that I did, the links are gone. The good old Google censor buries stuff too. And so be able to have an audio for checking this also. So number one, writing style. Two is a grammar report. Three is overused words report. Get off of there. I didn't do that. Four is the cliches and redundancies report. Five is the sticky sentence report. Number six is the repeats check. Number seven, the sentence length report. Number eight, the pronoun report. Number nine, the transition report. Number 10, the consistency check. 11 is the pacing check. 12, the dialogue tag checks. 13, the readability report. 14, the vague and abstract words check. 15, the thesaurus check. 16, the diction report. 17, the alliteration report. 18, the homonym check. 19, the corporate wording report. 20, the acronym check. 21, the complex words check. 22, the eloquence check. 23, the combo check. 24, the house style check. 25 is the plagiarism report. And this has been the report from the paraphrased plagiarist, also known as the Pondergander, the Mini Vinnies, me. Okay, we'll sign off. I'll tell you, this is the Freaker Friday. Free being this word that's so important. It's so misunderstood. And tonight we've got Grammy Murray, Central Time, 6 p.m. at 10 o'clock, the Freaker Ball, y'all, with Moose Girl and Grimney. Grimner, tomorrow is the Dork Table, and that comes at 11 Central. Flash somebody, and I may or may not be here. I've not finished my plans, maybe this weekend or later. I don't know. On Sunday at 10:45, remember, all time Central, we start out with the warm-up here into the blues, playing some blues for about 3 hours and 15 minutes, and got some trivia going on. Better have fast fingers if you want to play a trivia over here. And then followed by, I'm switching to the Pacific time now at noon o'clock on the left coast. Pacific, we got Hal Anthony. That's 3 o'clock Eastern time for the Yanks. Come on along and get behind the woodshed and learn how to avoid dangers that this beast, the occupation that we're in. Delivering the notice in the news is what you'll find also from Hal. Come on along. Grimner's back with Grim Leftovers on Monday. And I believe that is 6 Central. Then Tuesday again is In a Perfect World, Flash Somebody, and sometimes myself as captive hostage. And that is at noon Central. Wednesday, Graham comes along in the rocket chair, 6 p.m. Central. Thursday, Flash Somebody is back with 20% off. What a deal. Oy, that's at 6 p.m. Eastern. Yeah, I was thinking it was 6 p.m. Central, but it is Eastern time, I do believe. And then, of course, then that brings us right back to Friday and noon Central. It's a time, a place, a location, and actual ownership of what this thing is right here. It's a Ponder Gander. It's what matters. Worldwide, connecting voices, considering perspectives. And I'm your host, Vince Easley, and I'm signing off. Thank you very much.